I don't know if anyone is interested or not, but I saw something you might want to buy on television this morning. A modern day nativity scene. Did anybody see it? Did you see it? Mary sitting by the side of Jesus drinking some cappuccino. And it's for sale, isn't it? Can't you buy them? They're supplying them. So if you're interested, they probably aren't, but you know. I realize, you know, the Bible says that eternal life is to know the only true God. And you know what? There's a dilemma. Because the Bible says that His ways are past finding out. And so, if that's the case, then how exactly do we get to know Him? Well, I tell you what. I've come to the... See, when I heard that voice, and it said, if you want to find me, would that be to know Him? I mean, is that kind of the same thing? You want to know me, you want to find me? You got to look for me where I am. And what I'm beginning to realize is that we will know what God wants us to know, which is very limited, but still, that's what He wants. Now, I saw a phrase, and this has sparked the message for tonight, but... You know, we've read, I've quoted Acts 2:22. How many twos did I put in? Did I put three of them? Or more? Anyway, 2:22. And it says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God, among you by miracles and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. I heard the next verse the other day. Here's what it says. And him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And it's stuck. Determined. If you determine something, you decide how it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? By the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. And, you know, I've been thinking about that ever since I ran into it, you know, a week ago or so. But anyway, I'm pretty sure that this is right. God has determined what you should be. But by foreknowledge, He knows if you're going to do what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? But many are called, but few are chosen. He called them to do what He wanted them to do. But by foreknowledge, He knows that most of them are not going to do it. Is that right? I don't know. But somehow, God can speak through a holy prophet 10,000 years in advance and give details of something that's going to take place. And so, God is not in the same dimension that I'm in. He created us to be in His image and in His likeness, and there's a lot of similarities, but... I can't understand God. It's beyond my comprehension. I can't understand His makeup. However, through the scriptures, we get more and more and more understanding of the makeup of God. And one of the things that's happened to me, see, a lot of the church has come, you know, they can interpret God. They can understand God. They know, you know, there's God in three persons. Or there's whatever. I mean, they know. Or Jesus Himself is God. And I mean, they know that. I mean, in their minds, they know that. But I was told, if you want to find me, or if you want to understand me, or if you want to know me, if you want to know what I want you to know about me, You got to look for me where I am. And I was also made to know I'm not going to find him in the way that I have been looking. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to find him through the church that has predetermined within themselves who God is, what God is like, you know, how he works, what he does. I'm not going to find him through them, because those are the private interpretations, those are the mindsets of men, those are the things that the devil has helped men to think up. The only way I can find God, or find what God wants me to know about him, is as the Holy Spirit reveals this. Because in here, see, remember what it says in John 1:18? No man has seen God at any time. Well, what about no man has known God at any time? Or nobody really understands God? Wouldn't it be kind of the same thing? But the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. What is this? This is the declaration of the makeup that God wants us to know of himself. And if he said, you know, eternal life is to know him, then there has to be something that we can know. But it can't be fallacies. It can't be imaginations of the mind. It's got to be something that is truth. Now, the Bible says that no man, that nobody knows man except the spirit of man. Or, how's that worded? I'll look it up. I know where it's at. I'm going to misquote it here. What man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. No man knows the things of God except the spirit. And so it says, and we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So it's not that we can't know, but we're not going to know them naturally. It's impossible. And so God gave us the Holy Spirit to reveal to us spiritual things so that we begin to understand by the Spirit. What happens? We're starting to understand. So here, as I read those verses in Acts, and I looked at it, I thought, by the determinate counsel. It comes from determination, or by the established, you know, makeup of God. God said, this is what it's going to be. So before Christ is ever born, or before, you know, anything that we have any record of it, God has already predetermined that he's going to save man even before man actually became the sinner. You know what I'm saying? By his determinate counsel and foreknowledge. If it didn't say and foreknowledge, then we'd have a different picture. But the foreknowledge is part of the determinate counsel. Because if he determined it and we fail, which we do, by his foreknowledge, then he knows what we're going to do. See, that's, are you following what I'm saying? But this verse in Acts, what it did, it caused me to have a greater appreciation, a greater understanding of the dimension of God that I am able to understand. See, God will give me what I can understand. But there's past what I can understand. There's unlimited information. I am never going to understand God forever and ever and ever and ever. But I will be knowing, I think through eternity we will be getting greater glimpse. You know what is happening is God is getting greater. He always was greater, but he's getting greater to me. Because I'm starting to understand the greatness. A little bit here and a little bit more, and you know what I mean? That's what's happening. And so, what happens then if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach us? And we allow men to teach us. We come up with the craziest things ever. And if we start doing that, then we can buy that nativity scene that Glenn and I saw.
I just looked up Acts 2:23 in the NIV, and in rather than determine a council, it says set purpose, which I guess is, you know, that's the same thing. But I was thinking about that business of we're told to know God, but no man can know God, you know, and wondering about that. You know. And it occurred to me that, you know, a newborn baby really knows that baby's mother. Well, not long ago, the baby was in the womb there, you know. And how do you know better than that? And you try to swap out that mother for somebody else, that baby, there's no fooling that baby. You know, so there is the kind of knowing that occurs there with that dependence, that back and forth that goes on with a newborn baby and the baby's mother. Maybe gets at it some. Of course, there's a whole bunch of things that baby doesn't know about the mother. Doesn't know where she went to school. Doesn't know who the neighbors were when she was a child. Doesn't know, you know, a whole bunch of things that baby doesn't know. But there's some very big things about that mother that the baby knows better than anybody. Better than anybody. And I think that touches some the way we are to know God. We are to be in the bosom of the Father, you know, in the bosom. And think of that. You know, in the bosom. I mean, in there. Right in, you know, snugged in, sort of like in a womb, you know. Just in there. How can you ever know any better than to be in the bosom of the Father? But you know, there's a whole bunch of answers questions you can't answer just because you're in the bosom. You know, that didn't tell you a whole raft of things about God. You know? But hey, I'm okay with knowing as much as you can know by being in the bosom of the Father. Would that I were there. That is my great, great desire. I don't so much care about being able to rattle off a bunch of answers about him. What I want to know him is the way I would know him by being in his bosom.
I'd jotted down some verses in John during the week, and I was wondering if they would fit today. I think they will. But first, I was listening, and I heard this concept came, and it was between the Pharisees and stuff with Jesus when he was ministering, and I don't know exactly which gospel it's in. It might be in more than one, but they were getting so upset because he was saying he was the Son of God and that God was his Father. And they said, our God is Abraham. Well, see, that's how natural they had gotten. You know, in the natural, they had lost the whole spiritual aspect that they didn't even come back and say, well, God is our Father too. They said, Abraham is our Father. And I think they say Moses too. I'm not sure. But so, I mean, They had no concept of who their father really was then, you know, which Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, you know, which that's what he'll do, like he's done, put you in the natural, you know, and then you miss whatever the Spirit wants to give. So on that setting there in Acts, I just look quick too, in my New King James, it says determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. So, John 11:22, I'll go to 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now listen, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now why would he have to do that if he's the third, you know? See, all the, and I was just going through and these things were just kind of jumping out. I probably didn't even write some of them, but the next one was 12:49. And we've said this a lot, but it just to keep hearing it. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. You know? I didn't come up with this in my own godly threesome mind, you know? But the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And then in 13:16, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who has sent greater than he who sent him. So you know he's telling them that, but he's using himself as an example. And in 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Now, why would he need the Father dwelling in him if he's an equal God? You know, there's just little things like that that keep popping up. And it's, you know, the predetermined whatever, purpose, however you want to put it. So God already knew all the things that he was going to speak through Jesus before Jesus was created, you know? And so then you look at that and you go, so after a while, did Jesus realize that, jeepers, you know, before the world was formed, I was already determined to bring glory to my Father and to be in his glory. So then how does the scripture set when it says, Father, remember me with the glory I had with you before the world was? You know? And then I when Keith was mentioning about eternity, taking all eternity to know him, and I thought, does eternity have time once you're there? I mean, just, I don't know, you know. Because if there's no time, it's possible you could just know everything at once, more or less. I mean, I don't know what characteristics God's going to give us. But I know that from listening to what Jesus said as he came back and whatnot, and spoke to the disciples, and you think about how he can minister every one of us at any time, he certainly was given some major qualities of God, you know, being everywhere, knowing everything to a degree, you know. Now there's still, because the end of the age hasn't come and his new Jerusalem and whatnot hasn't formed, so there's still some things at this point that supposedly Jesus doesn't know, because he doesn't know that day. He said that, you know, not even I know. But when all that happens, then what? You know? It really doesn't matter. I mean, see, because I can't comprehend anymore now, even probably less than I could before, what heaven and eternity is going to be like. Because I'm just finding out how awesome God is, you know, I mean, so who knows what is in store for that, you know. But it's kind of funny because some of the depictions of what some of that's going to be like is in Revelations, and it still has this kind of being normal, well, not normal humans, but, I mean, it's talking about a city and going in and out and, you know, so interchange, and then some won't be there, and, you know, I mean, it's there's a lot of unanswered stuff yet.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, I can't resist this. As Ken was talking about it, and I thought, you know, eternity is a timeless thing. But we speak of it as forever and ever. That's time.
Yeah, we speak of it.
Huh? And so, the time that we are limited to in this earth is based upon the sun coming up and the sun going down, and day by day by day by day, and that we call that time. And the clock sitting up there. But in eternity also speaks of time. What I mean is, we're not going to sit there like this forever. You know what I mean? There's going to be movement and be moving, and won't that be time? It's not the same dimension as this, but you know what I'm saying? I got Charlie thinking about it too.
Yeah, I got something to say about it.
Go ahead.
You know, let me raise the issue of space. If you draw a picture, you know, that's one-dimensional, or draw a line, that's one-dimensional. You make a model of something, it's three, you know, it's got space, you know. And I wonder if time is kind of like that. It's for us, it's one-dimensional. It's a single line just going off, you know. But maybe in heaven, it's not like it's timeless. It's time plus. It's really big time. It's, you know, it's got space. It's got volume. It's got, you know, it's not just a single line going off. It's, you know, got dimension to it. Got whatever, you know, volume to it. And that's not exactly timeless. That's time plus is what that is. Time plus, 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 plus. But, you know, the past is the very same as the future, the present. You know, it's just, you know, I don't know if I have anything more to say about it. But we think of it as being somehow less than time. No. It's a whole lot more than time, I think, is what goes on in eternity.
Isn't God going to create a new heaven and a new earth? What are they going to do? Just sit there and alter space and they don't move, or what's that going to be like? Or is the earth still going to be revolving, the new earth? If it's revolving, then we got the other planets that he makes, whatever he makes, new heavens and new earth, they're going to be moving too, aren't they, or aren't they? Okay. I need somebody smarter than me.
Here's the man smarter than you.
Yeah.
It was really unfortunate, Keith, that you did that. Where's Dominic when you need him? I'll say this. I don't know if you can mix dimensions and time, although they call time the fourth dimension because time doesn't have a length, a width, or height. And I would disagree with Charlie that a line is not one dimension, it's two. It's a point is one, a line is two, a cube is three, and time is four. What that has to do with God today, I don't know. And I would say that eternity is the absence of time being measured. And that's the way I've always looked at it. And if for if that helps you, good. But I doubt that highly. I wanted to talk about something else. Things are going on in my life that might have to do with God and faith and everything else. So I'll just say, you know, God is good, and it's, you know. What was interesting about what was brought today was the concept or thinking about, you know, God knows what's going to happen. You know, the cynic in me, you know, little brain starts wheeling off and I go, well, yeah, if you can create the future, you do know what it's going to be, you know. And then you go, well, wait, you got free will. And I go, well, you know, I decided I was going to the store. And God decided there was going to be an ice storm and I didn't get to the store. So my free will was still answered, but at the end of the day, I didn't get to the store. Go chew on that for just a minute. So, but it really comes down to faith in your relationship with Him. You know, I played the Unfolding Revelation song today because we really don't know. God knows. And as God is in our heart, and we align with what God wants, we'll start to know. You know, it is amazing to me, as we continue to look for God through the Word, how things keep popping up and we go, you know. I'm not saying anything against anybody, but I don't know how, with what God has shown us, that anybody could stand on saying, Jesus is not a man. I mean, there are literally, we have found, God has revealed to us hundreds of settings that say that. Yeah. Now, there have been two or three that you go, well, wait a minute. You know, you got the brain locks up and you go, well, I bet I'm interpreting that with the wrong part of my brain. I bet the natural man has just kind of rose up and said, oh, this says this. The spirit man's over here going, nope, that's not what that really says. And, you know, we've come across that and are highlighting that today in we are to know Him and no one knows Him. If that isn't the definition of confounding the wise. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you wanted to, like, pick one thing that is really critical to our walk and then say, well, I'm trying to know His heart. Well, you can't know Him. Never seen Him. And then we, you know, and Charlie, God bless Charlie and his word pictures, because he comes up with really, really good examples of, does that baby know his mother? You bet she does, or he does. Doesn't know what school he went. Couldn't tell you what he likes or doesn't like. Doesn't tell you, you know, what's his favorite color. Doesn't know that. But yet he knows its mother. And I guess that's a great way to look at us. We know his heart, but we don't know him. So, I don't know. My God has me where He wants me, and I've got difficult things that are coming in my life, and with work, and you know, it's it's okay. You know, not all of us get to actually try and put our faith on display. You know, I've gotten up and said, well, you know, whatever God's plan for me is God's plan for me. And that is true. And I've said, you know, I have been asking over these past few months for the ability to accept what God's plan is with a good heart. Well, I'm here to tell you that when you're faced with the reality of that, that's not always as easy as you'd like it to be. But you know, my testimony is that today I can face what God has for me, and I wouldn't have been able to in the past. And if that isn't knowing Him by understanding that His heart is for me, then I don't know what is. So, I don't know Him, but I know Him. And I don't always understand God's plan, but it's the right plan. You know, in the abstract, by definition, if this is what God wants, it's right. And when you say, okay, so when the natural man tries to work out of that box, at the end of the day you go, nope. It's what God wants. And the challenge is always to have a good heart in that. Because as we've said, it's easy to praise God from the mountaintops. It's hard to praise God from the valley. But He appreciates your praise from the valley much, much more than your praise from the mountaintops. Look no farther than Job. And in fact, look no farther than Job to illustrate what we've been talking about today. God knew Job's heart and knew that no matter what happened to Job, he wouldn't turn from God. And I think that's the walk we all want. No matter what comes our way, whatever the devil does in our life, or whatever God allows the devil to do in our life, to just take it with a good heart and find a way to turn that difficulty into a blessing back to God. Because, not to bring it down, but because that's what we're required to do. That's just keeping the bar level. That's not brownie points. That's just doing what we're supposed to do. So, I don't know about eternity and dimensions, but I do know to know God's heart is to willingly accept what He brings to you. And when it's a trial, look for the opportunity of that trial to bring you closer to God. Because that's what I'm doing.
Well, I don't know what eternity is either, but I know you have to work for it. I wasn't sure how this was going to fit, but seeing how the word babies came up this morning, I guess it's going to have to fit somehow. You know, you can read the Bible, and you can read over the words. And then one day, you read something that just kind of lights up the whole world, you know, how it stands out. And I heard this, believe it or not, it was on television. I think it was like on a wagon train when they had the old wagon train series, you know, which I really like to watch. And they were kind of made it into a Christmas scene, you know, with the baby being born on Christmas Eve and all that. But anyway, and they said just a couple words in there that really made me stop and think. So I want to read what that I heard here. It comes out of the book of Luke, 2nd chapter, verse 11. For today in the city of David has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now I left two words out. And I left them out deliberately because those are the two words that struck me. Now read it again. For today in the city of David there is a Savior born for you. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, those two words really struck a chord. Because Jesus was born not to be the son of Mary, but be the Savior for us. And then I read up a little farther in this same chapter, and it talks about the shepherds. And I got to thinking, why did the angel of the Lord pick those shepherds out of all the other people that are in the world at that time? Why did he pick the shepherds? And I thought, you know what? Those shepherds were watching over their flock. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the flock. It had to tie in. They were picked for that reason to, and I don't know the word, but to represent us as the flock. You know? And then, let me go on here a little bit. I got to thinking, you know, there's a lot of times things are revealed to me, to you, whoever. And if we don't bring what God reveals to us to the rest of the body, then I have to ask myself, why then would God want to reveal it to me if I don't share it? You know? So, and, you know, I've been up here more times this month than I have all in the past few years. But something's being done, you know, and I just thank God.
Jesus says that what you hear in the ear in secret, preach in the housetops. You know what I mean? So if you're being told something, you know, go in the housetop and talk about it. Well, it's about time. You know, God created creation was in 6 days. First day, second day. You know, maybe the first day was 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years. It's just written, you know, first day and then the second day. And for God, you know, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. So God still has one and then the next and then the next. You know, of course, we don't understand how that is, but and also what I wanted to say is that in the new heaven, we are going to be eating out of the tree of life, and I don't think that's, you know, so we're going to be eating daily or whatever the word is for whatever is happening in heaven. You know, it's going to be a repetition because you eat and then you eat again and then you eat again. So. You know, it's going to be a lot, not, I don't know a lot, but similarities to what we have right now, only there's not going to be no sorrow, there's not going to be male or female, there's going to be, God is going to replace the sun, the light of the sun, he's going to be shining everywhere. And so there's going to be very similar, and, we won't have watches, I'm sure, or we won't know Monday, Tuesday, but I think there's going to be the next. You know, there will always be a next. What's God doing next? I don't know. That's just my rendition of that. About knowing the future, and you know, God knows. And but before I say that, anyways, you know, the Bible says that that nobody knows or has even entered the hearts of man of what God has prepared for us. But it will be revealed to some. That will be revealed to some of what God has prepared for us. And I sure hope that we are the some that he's talking about. Yes, and now about the knowing the future, you know, in parentheses, a lot of people go to church and they want to know what God has to say about what's coming because they fear. They have fear of what's coming, so they can be, you know, prepared. And, you know, it's like fortune telling. You know, they want to know what's going to happen. They need to know the future. But God is not a fortune teller. That's not how it works. And but when Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, he says, you know, he will. Long story short, he said he will take of what is mine and reveal it to you. I said, and he will tell you things to come. He says, so the Holy Spirit will tell you in a way. I might not tell you 1,000 years, or maybe he will tell you in 1,000 years, but the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come, and it's not going to be all this weird stuff. It's going to be somehow through this word, you will know. You will know what's coming. And it's gonna be peace. If you think you know what's coming, it's gonna give you turmoil in your heart. That's not the Holy Spirit telling you about the future. I don't know why he's gonna tell you things to come. I don't know why God does that. Why do we need it? But he will tell us things to come. And you know. So yes, the Holy Spirit not only. Reveals, you know, explains to you the word of God, but it will tell you things to come.
Yes.
I have no more to say about time. I was listening, like, how what we are to know or whatever, and it kind of stood out to me again when I was listening about when Jesus was standing before Pilate. So Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Now, what's got ingrained in me is that truth is everything. Truth is the only thing. It is. That will save you, that will bring you into eternity. And it's the one thing that will create havoc and it'll create division. But even, you know, it says, who is of the truth hears me. You know what? We can't even do that on our own. Because he had to give us ears to hear. But if you are hearing, then you should feel blessed. Yes. And be thanking him, which I do. Because why? You know, why me? Why you? Well, we don't know. Only God knows, you know. But hopefully it's because you've been predestined, appointed, called, sealed, you know. And I'll tell you that I'm walking a little fear yet these days. Really, I seriously am, because you can feel like because you've gotten a certain, you know, that you know that God has given stuff, so you're feeling like, so he knows something about me that I don't know. But at this point, that's still not a guarantee to me that I'm going to be there, you know? And so I want to pray, Lord, that you have chosen me because of my heart, and you know, because I don't want to not be there, you know? And, but this giving, this gift of the truth, and it is a gift.
Yes, it is.
Truth is a gift. And I sat and tried to think about what can, I mean, it's hard. There are people in the world that would have thousands of words of argument about truth, and, well, whose truth, what truth? Well, see, that's acting like Pilate. What is true? Well, do you want to know, or don't you? Because there's only one place you'll find out. And you know, it says you'll be sanctified by the truth. That's bringing you in, you know. That's making you righteous before God, which is that's what he wants, you know. And truth involves who he is, doesn't it? It involves who Jesus Christ is. And you know, it's funny. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So if you read the things he said, and you're hearing something that the mass isn't, blessed.
Yes.
I mean, he's inviting you into the kingdom, his kingdom, you know? And if you want to sit there and say you have it, and you don't think you have to do it like it appears that he's showing us how, as a little child, well, you're gonna walk in deception then. You know? It's this thing about that term, a love for the truth, it's got to be there. Now, I have days when I don't have a love for it as much as I'd like, you know, and I don't entertain it like I should, but that doesn't matter. Because it takes time, you know, in this realm. I'll just say that much. for that to come about. And every person's different. But, boy, you got to have a heart that's open to be taught, to hear truth, to want it, to love it. And if you feel like you don't have it, then humble yourself before the Lord and ask him to give you ears to hear. You know, that we have to do that. I have to continually do that. I mean, it's you just got to keep coming before him as that little child and keep reminding yourself that you don't know and you need him to show you, to teach you, you know, to whatever, to put it in you. And I know that is going to be the message at the end, is the fact involved in everything is the fact that there is a truth. That there's no white, gray, I mean, you know what I mean? It's truth. It's everything. It's all there is. And you're going to have to have a knowledge of that to go on. And, you know, it's... So, I don't know. And when you think about all the things that... Those little things, you know, that like someone said that Corky, I think, mentioned it, which that's what I began to see. It's like, where do these little things keep popping up? You know, well, every one of those is a little nugget of truth, you know? And then pretty soon this thread starts to form and starts to bring it all in, you know? And starts putting it together, and then you see a little more picture, you know, and you get to know a little more about Christ, and you get to know more about your Father, you know, and Jesus said, you know, I'm here that you can know the Father. I mean, that really is the ultimate, is to know the Father. But you can't know it without him, which is wonderful. I mean, you know. And you have to have his attributes to know more of the Father than you know. You have to keep becoming more Christ-like, and then you'll get to keep knowing more about your Father. You know, it's a wonderful thing. I wish I was a lot farther along, you know, but it'll come. It'll happen. And that's another gift given is faith, you know. And that when you see some of these, that at first... you know, doesn't appear, you have faith to know that he will give the answer if it's needed. You know, that's kind of an important thing about, I went back and forth about, well, he said you can know all truth. Well, in there, though, I've kind of come to see, and I think someone else has brought it before I am now, but all the truth that we need to know at the time, you know, so that kind of helped, you know. I mean, yeah. If whatever you need in this realm to get you to that one, I believe he's going to give.
Yes.
whatever, how, you know. It may not be all of his eternal truth, but it's all that you need to get to there. And it's all in here. That, you know, because there's so much mysticism out there now, you know, with all the Harry Potters and all the magicians and but you know what? Really, I feel I can say, hey, you want to know mystic? You want to know the unknown? You want to know what's not in the natural realm? It's this Word of God. Because you can read it and get nothing or something, but entwined in there is the real truth.
Yes.
And it gets brought, like, if it's brought by the Spirit, that's not by the natural. So that's mystifying in a sense. But this one is pure. And this one is the light, not the darkness. You know? And which, that's why Jesus said, I am the light, because I'm revealing truth and exposing darkness. Which is, you know, we have seen darkness come to light a lot more than we knew before, haven't we? The wiles of the devil. Man, they are unreal. You know? But all of them are a lie. Isn't that interesting? Everything he presents that people grasp is a lie. But boy, that's a hard thing to try to tell somebody that they're, you know, try to tell me years ago that I'm of a lie. You know? I wouldn't accept it either, probably. But, you know, you will if your desire is to, like, know all truth and be his. You're going to have to admit that, yeah, I got influenced by the liar big time. I'm still getting influenced by the liar. You know? It's this natural realm is a tough one to walk separate in, you know, while you're here. So, but he has the strength to give it. To do it.
We're talking about the big ones here today, aren't we? Time and truth. And I was thinking of Pilate's question there, what is truth? And it occurred to me that if you have to ask the question, you're not going to know the answer. You know, first of all, you can't answer it. You can't. You know, you sort of know it when you see it, or at least hopefully you do. If you're of the truth, you would know it when you see it. And secondly, hey, there's no way of putting words to that. You know, it's just really, really, really the wrong question. Don't ask that question, Pilate. You know, no, don't ask that question. And of course, we do. But to know the truth is to not ask the question. A couple of comments. In the Psalms, the first chapter, it said blessed, you know. And who does the blessing? God. It has to be God. Blessed is the man. And then I'm going to skip a couple, but this is what it's talking about, whose delight, and I don't mean a secondary delight, but whose first delight. That's what, if you read that, that's what it said, whose delight is in God's word. And on this word does he meditate day and night. Blessed is that man. Okay? How do you do that? How did Smith Wigglesworth isolate himself to the Word of God? He didn't have a CD player. He didn't have any way of listening to it like we do. Let me tell you something. We are, of all men that has ever lived, the most blessed. We are the most blessed of any generation that has ever existed at this moment in time.
Because faith comes by hearing, and that the Word of God. And whenever before has it ever been that men could turn the Scriptures on and listen to them day and night, whether they're sleeping or awake, whatever they are, and just listen to them and not necessarily be taking them in all the time, but listening. Because the Spirit within us is hearing it whenever it's playing. Blessed is that man. So what is going to happen to you? Faith comes by hearing. Faith is going to come. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, through faith, we understand. But you can't possibly understand with natural understanding because that wouldn't make any sense. If you understand through faith, you're understanding in a realm that we're not familiar with. But we're going to come into it. We're coming into it. I'm coming into it. I can feel it coming. I'm growing into something that I'm unfamiliar with, but I love it. Because I am beginning to believe things from the Scriptures that puts me in a real strange or unique category. You know what I mean? Not very many in it. And I'm glad. So anyway, the blessing is that we have the ability or the good fortune, is that a good word, I guess? To listen to the Scriptures non-stop. And I thank God that when I heard that, it made sense and I did it. He made it make sense.
So now I know what it's like to have Keith steal your thunder, because he got up and said pretty much what I was going to say, because he brought back on some of Ken's comments, he brought back to faith, and that's what I was going to talk about. I'm going to make two comments. One will be positive, so I'll do that first. I think Pablo pointed out really well, and I'm ex-Catholic, so I'm eminently qualified to make the comment I'm about to make. But there's a difference between seeking God with a good heart or seeking God for fear of total damnation for eternity. And that is sort of the way the Catholics will try and get you to show up. Because if you don't, you're going to hell forever. And then they tell you just exactly how hard it is for you to avoid that. And so you're put in this puzzle and says the only way to do this is do these things. And unfortunately, it totally misses the whole reason why or why not. The second thing, Charlie made the comment about Pilate asking the question about truth and said that's a bad question. And it's kind of interesting because I've always thought that particular setting of Scripture is incredibly important because the question of truth, we still really can't answer it. And I like the fact that Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? And I'm probably going to go to the other side trying to figure out exactly what that is. That question is haunting because in the natural you go, what? There is real no answer to what truth is. But it is the thing. And you need truth. And then, you know, Keith took that and expanded on what he was going to say and how you have to have faith to be able to withstand whatever God's going to bring to you. Bringing it back to what I brought before. And the only way you can have faith is to have the truth. And the only way you can have the truth is by getting it from the Word. The truth will make you free. Make you free from what? Whatever comes your way, the truth will make you free. And how do you get that? By having faith. And how do you get that? By listening to the Word. Just to finish up. Keith made a comment how this particular time is really wonderful in the sense that we can listen to the Word nonstop. I don't know if it's wonderful. I actually think it's because that is what's required in the time that we're now living.
That's good.
I mean, you just can't sort of get by a couple nights in the stars with the, you know, tending the shepherd, you know, being a shepherd. Because the demands on our time are such that, you know, you almost have to have it going all the time to try and fit in there some time where God can really work with you. We have the scriptures going on in the bedroom, and you know when you wake up, but you're not really awake, and all of a sudden you end up going and you listen through three books, and it's just amazing what pops out and kind of just settles in on your soul. And that is when God's doing his work on me. Maybe there's an advantage to getting old and having to get up at the night. I don't know. But my brain is more open. But it's, to me, it's the word to the truth to build your faith, to get back, to have the heart for God. Maybe that's a different sequence for others. Maybe it works differently for others, but we want to be made free. And in the natural, I think the only way you get there is the Spirit enlightening us, giving us revelation.
As I have said so many times, I heard a voice, and it said, if you want to find me, you have to look for me where I am. You know what? Explain that to me. But I was made to know. This is a voice from the outside. I was made to know by all kinds of things on the inside that what I had to do was do what I knew I should be doing for 30 years. For 30 years, I have wanted to study and study and study and read and read and study the Word of God. I'm too busy. I don't have time for all that. I got a life to live. When I told Joanne, I said, we got to start listening to the scriptures in a nonstop. She says, but we got other things to do. And see, it wasn't really registering with either one of us right away, even me, what I was talking about. Because it was possible today to be listening to it nonstop. And that's what I said. This is one of the few that it's ever been a possibility. I'm not saying just the few years, the last few years, but I'm saying it's been in the last, 50 years or whatever else. But who is doing that? And of the people that are doing it, I've heard of people that are listening to the scriptures, they listen to it all the time. They start in Genesis and they go through Revelation. They go back to Genesis and they go through Revelation. They go back to Genesis. They do this over and over and over and over. Let me tell you a little secret. When that is the way you do it, you don't get a lot. I understood right away what I needed to do. I needed to concentrate on the Gospels. And you know why? There's an old saying that says that the Old Testament is a truth contained, but the New Testament is a truth explained. Is that the way it is? It's something like that, is it, Charlie? How close am I? And anyway, the New Testament is the new covenant. It has wrapped up the entire Old Testament. So if we spend all of these times with the begats and all of these things and we're listening to them, we will never get there. What we have to do is listen to, when God spoke to Moses back in Deuteronomy, he said, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you. And when he comes, hear him. Meaning what? Don't pay a lot of attention to Moses and what was back there. Listen to the new covenant prophet. Do you follow me? When he comes, hear him. And so I started listening to the Gospels over and over and over and over and over. And I finally started getting into the epistles, but I concentrated on it and I began to realize something. All the things that I have been taught for all of these years, most of it was legalistically law. And let me tell you, you know this little thing that we stuck up on the wall? It's not little. This is one of the most major revelations that you will ever get. And I think it was Corky that said, and the truth will make you free. When I begin to realize that Jesus Christ was a man, is a man, and always will be a man, because the Bible tells us that, it made me free. It doesn't make me popular, but it makes me free. I'm not sitting here wondering about the dual nature, or, you know, is he part God and part man, or what is he? I don't have to, because the Bible tells me real plainly about the man Christ Jesus and his function and what he does. And that's why that scripture in Acts 2:23, verse 22, it says, God, Peter calls him, he's a man approved by God. And then in 23 it says, by his determinate counsel and foreknowledge. When I saw that the other day, I thought, oh, and I'm trying to figure out God. Anybody else? Otherwise, let's come up to the front. And I have a thankfulness today. You come on up. I thank God for you. I thank God that he's put me in the same fellowship where you are.
Amen. It's good.
Yeah. This was a blessing this morning. Tremendous blessing. You know what we're supposed to do when we come together? We're supposed to edify one another. Isn't that kind of what we're starting to do?
Angel coming to the shepherd is good.
Yeah.
That was the Savior to you. I never noticed that before.
I didn't either. So, like I said, I saw it on the TV when and those two words all of a sudden just stood right out.
Yeah.
For you.
To you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to move on. I guess the other issue, I got something leaning against the propellants.
We got plenty right here.
Bigger than last time. Or last week.
Not from the library, the hunting.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
they are out the second week.
Pablo needed two trucks to go up deer hunting, and he borrowed mine, and I'm just thank God he made it home.
We're all thankful he made it
home. Didn't hear about it, too?
I've seen it. Yeah.
It's starting to buckle in the middle.
Did you sell it?
Yeah, Denny's nephew is going to come and get it.
With the money, he's going to go for dinner.
Anyway, I asked him, I told him, I said, well, you can drive it home. He says,
He's going to pick it up.
I don't know what he's going to do, but he's...
Oh, that's great. I even drove it home in 2 hours.
Well, yeah, I was...
That's 14 cents.
I drove like 25 miles an hour. And I don't know if it was my brain telling me, but he really felt that it's probably like,
Well, that's what he said. He looked at me. He says, I wouldn't drive it. He says, I'm running quarters.
Right. Because
it was bent in the middle of it.
Yeah.
His brain just went through the woods
all weekend.
We knew who was watching out for you. I can't think of anything necessarily to pray for, but there's always stuff to pray for. But Charlotte, I don't know how Michael is.
He's doing better.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they gave him a shot and some medication, and he actually went yesterday, I think it was, he went out hunting.
Oh.
He wasn't supposed to go out in the cold, but he went out hunting and got
torn ligament now in his leg.
Well, he got that too, and then the gout was even worse. And he just cried for days. And, you know, the big guy like that starts crying.
Yeah.
You know, it was really painful.
Sounds like things are good, though. I mean,
they're good. It was wonderful having them here. I'm sorry they couldn't go, but it was wonderful having them.
How's Ben? Or Ben? Well, Steve's Ben. Yeah. I can keep going.
Okay. They're both okay. They're doing. I mean, Steve's home again.
Yeah, he's home. So and he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
what counts.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe we'll just pray that.
Yeah.
Give thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I could use a little prayer. There's some stuff going on at work.
Okay.
But other than that. See, so God's answering all these prayers. Get in on this.
It won't be for you.
So
I won't refuse.
That's right. Well, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Praise your spirit. Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you would keep Steve Williams there, O Lord. And Lord, that there would be that relationship that you are longing for, Lord. Lord, we ask, O Lord, that thing would come upon. That he would say, yes, you are my Father. You are my Heavenly Father. You are my Savior. And with you is where I want to spend eternity. And Lord, that you would take that man and put him in your bosom, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. You cause things to unfold that that's what happens, oh Lord. In your determinate counsel, Lord. Oh my. And your foreknowledge, Lord. We ask, oh Jesus, that you take that son in, oh Lord. Your word says that you leave the 99 and go for the lost sheep, oh Lord. We know that to be your heart, O Lord. And Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you would go and round up that lost sheep, which is Steve Williams, O Lord. Oh, by your Spirit.
Yes, work, yes,
do that good work, O Lord.
Yes,
Lord. He is in your flock. As best I know, he seemed, despite all the stuff that has happened, he's in your flock. So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you find him. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we lift up the whole situation with Corky, oh Lord. Yes, good things happen in trials, but oh my, it's a good thing you give good gifts to your children too, Lord. So Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that you would see Corky through this hard time, oh Lord.
Yes.
And that getting on the other side, it would just be good, just good. However way, and your good is good enough, Lord. It doesn't have to be our good. Your good is good enough. But we ask for a egg. You don't give us a serpent, Lord. So Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that you would give good gifts to Corky, oh Lord. Good gifts. We ask for friendship, Mother, for Corky in this difficulty, Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, praise you.
We thank you for all those answered prayers, Lord.
Yes.
All those improvements in people's lives.
Yes, Lord. Glory.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. You heard us because you knew before we asked, Lord. So bless you. Bless you, Father. Yes, Lord. Bless you.
Thank you for the successful hunt. And thank you for keeping all our hunters safe.
Yes, that's right. Bringing Pablo back in that vehicle. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for keeping me in a thrilling ride Saturday morning in the case.
He was smoked around by the wind up there.
Oh,
I didn't get blown out, but I thought it was getting hot.
She got Pablo's
thing. Oh,
yeah.
Boy, for sure. Yeah.
Oh.
There are times when my only explanation was that was violent. So, end up.
Mm.
Do you want again?
I did yesterday.
push it off. That's not me.